We're here at Beer Street.
Yes.
And we're here with the world famous Danish beer brewer, Tore from Toøl. And so we want to ask him a couple of questions, want to do some good stuff. And
No problem. I'm happy to talk to you.
Yeah. But that's
I'm a big fan of your podcast.
Oh, it's good. So Tore.
Pronounce it Tore.
I'm sorry. I got to get used to that. So Tore, how is it being in the States?
It's a lot of fun. I got to meet this dude who sang in Superheroes, and that was exciting.
Oh, I heard about those Superheroes. They're dang great.
All right, I'm not going to let you take over my podcast any longer. We are at Beer Street, and we are with Tore, but he's standing opposite me, and he's one of the duo, the brewery, Toøl.
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 Two beers.
Yeah, which means two beers, as BR has pointed out.
Yeah.
So you're here for an event. You've got a bunch of your beers up on the tap lines here. Before we start talking about your beers, you're also surrounded by some other Danes.
Yeah, we're here with Jeppe from Evil Twin and Mikkel from Mikkeller.
Now, there's a connection between your brewery and Mikkel.
Yeah. I was actually once pupil of Mikkel back when he didn't have Mikkeller, but so when he was a school teacher.
And you were a student.
I was a student at what, I guess that's what translates into a high school, between high school and college. It's different in Denmark. So, yeah, he was our chemistry teacher actually back then. And let me say, to begin with, it was really, really liberal school. So yeah, we were sitting at this school party, talked about it's a shame we have to sit and drink these obnoxious stale piss-colored lagers.
So you're not a fan of Carlsberg, is what you're telling me?
Well, yeah, you caught on to that. That's good. We talked a lot about it, and we came to the conclusion that the only way to get good beers was probably just to try to brew them themselves, because there was some importing going on, but it was expensive for young students like us. So yeah, we thought, like, well, why not just try to brew it yourself? And Mikkel had at the time been home brewing for like 2 years. So we asked the school if we could, first of all, buy a home brewing equipment for $1,000 or something like that. And they agreed, because we said, like, yeah, will be a
chemistry.
Lot of good chemistry, yeah, you can learn about fermentation processes and stuff like that. And they said, well, yeah, okay, of course you can do that. And then we just needed a place to brew, but the only place we could, perfect place, that was the kitchen, the school's kitchen. And we were allowed to use that, but only when the kitchen was not used by any other, which meant that we could use it from 10 in the evening to 6 in the morning. So that's when we started brewing. That was often, most time, from 10 in the evening to 6 in the morning. Sometimes we went directly from brewing to our classes and just had a great time by brewing. Most of the beer tasted like not that good. No,
like it tasted like school beer.
Exactly. It didn't went down direct down to the drain. Like, people enjoyed it and had a good time, but
free beer is always good beer to
exactly,
a lot of people.
Exactly, to a lot of people. So yeah, after that, Mikkel started Mikkeller in 2006 or 5, I cannot recall. And we continued on just home brewing. Mikkeller started expanding, and then we had a lot of good feedback on our home brews, but we just decided in 2010, okay, let's try to do this big. And then we actually talked to Mikkel. He heard that we wanted to do a larger scale commercial brew, and he said, well, let's make a collaboration to begin with. And that became the overall Imperial IPA, 10.5% super hop Imperial IPA. And since that, it has just exploded. Like,
so you're lucky that your science teacher wasn't Walter White.
Yeah.
Because if it was, you'd be making something else.
Yeah, exactly. If I hadn't met a science teacher who knew how to put school to something that was out in the real life and alcohol, then I guess it wouldn't be. I would probably be a computer geek or something like that.
You probably haven't seen the TV series Breaking Bad, have you?
Well, I actually just got hold of the first season.
That could be the inspiration.
Yeah. The call from HBO, actually, they wanted to make a the same story just with us.
With beer.
And then we said no to them, and then they went on like just writing another script, doing it with drugs instead of with beers, and yeah, it worked out for them. So yeah.
Compared to in there, it feels like fallout here.
Oh my God.
It's okay. We'll edit you out, Jim, as we always do.
Please do. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
You guys were at the festival last weekend up in Worcester, Mass.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Well, first of all, it's our first time that we represented physically the U.S. It's the first time we've come over here as a brewery and meet all the guys who are actually drinking our beers and working with our beers, and that's lovely. The festival was, I think it was really, really great to see who was behind the whole process. You came through every step, obviously our importers, Shelton Brothers, and then all the distributors. It's good to see them, talk to them, hear their thoughts about our beers, and then of course you got all the shop owners who sell the beers directly to the customers who drink the beer, and we also talked a lot to them, so we got every single step of the...
And the customers themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Talked to a lot of the customers, and it seemed like they had a great time. I did at least have an awesome time. So that was amazing. And it was an amazing scene. I've never seen a beer festival at this old symphony hall.
It's sad that no one actually played the organ.
We had a discussion if we should just go up and grab the organ and just freestyle, but Danes have a certain kind of humor. Sometimes it's hard to know whether the Americans think it is as funny as we think it is, so...
I think we would have found it funny.
Yeah, that you would, but...
We would have found it funny as security dragged you out in handcuffs.
What? It was only a piano.
We should talk a little bit about the brewery's philosophy.
Our philosophy is really that we're never better than the last beer we brew. No reason to lay on the laurels. We want to put some youth in the beer world. What good is if a beer has been brewed like 100 years, what good is that if it's still like a stale lager or something?
It's still boring.
Yeah, it's still boring. So what? You've just proven that you cannot renew yourself. So we want to do something fresh. We want to do something new all the time. And we brew the beer that we will drink ourselves. The philosophy is that if nobody else will drink it, then we'll just close it down and drink it ourselves, and that'll just be it.
And what are some of your favorite styles to drink and brew then?
Well, actually, people ask a lot what my favorite beer is. I'm an old bartender at the Mikella Bar, actually, and there I drink a lot of the Vesterbro Pilsner that's there. And that's a hobby Pilsner at 5.6%, and there's nothing special to it. It's not with any funkiness or any barrel aging or anything. It's just a goddamn good session beer. It has a lot of hops, a lot of characteristics, a lot of edge, but it's still just, you can drink that all the time. And I drank a lot of beer at that bar. I drank through all the 20 taps, and we changed all the time and had a lot of bumps and had tasted everything. But every time I went back to the house beer. And I think, for me, that's an example of what I like to do sometimes. Like, I want to do the balanced, drinkable session. At the same times, I also want to explore the world and put some boundaries. Like, I want to get out there and do something characteristic. People have been talking a lot today about our wild yeast... the wild yeast imperial IPA. And the key about what we do is not just session. Not at all. Like, we do everything. But the key, I think, what we try to... do is the key word is balance. In the States, it sometimes seems like we really want to do a lot of extreme, more is more. And in Denmark, we don't really have a beer culture on our own. Well, we do, but that's Carlsberg. So we look out to the world and we sample of all the beer cultures that are around us. So what you see often, at least from us, is a really fusion of all these styles around. Overall, is a good example of it, because you got the wild yeast style from Belgium, and you got all the crazy hoppiness and potent IPA from the States, and it's just a hybrid beer between these two.
That beer is the one I started with. It tastes a bit like a hoppy barley wine or version.
Yeah, exactly. So attenuation at 100% and no sugar in it at all. So it should be dry, but you know the bread just gives a clear funkiness to it that really makes it fat and kind of disguises the alcohol, which is.
The other beer that you have on draft here today is the Goliath Coffee Stout.
Yeah, and it's a kind of sweet imperial stout, but packed with fresh coffee. Like we add the coffee direct to the fermentation tanks just before we bottle. And we also, even though it's sweet and even though it's a really big beer, it's also. We also focus a lot about the balance, like it should be drinkable. We showed this to Jakob, who is the brewer of Amager Bryghus, and he took the beer, tasted it, and said, "Oh, this is what I call a croppable stout," and it's a 10.1%, and he just took the bottle and squashed it. It's not like we want to make easy drinking, but we want to balance the things we do.
You, like your fellow newcomer Danish brewers, are also gypsy brewers.
Yeah, exactly. We are a bunch of gypsies.
Do you guys brew at the same places, or are you all over the place, just like the other guys?
There are some of the guys that are really, really all over the places. We are at different locations, and we try to get out there. But we're also developing slowly. We're getting contact. We want to come over here to the States and brew. We want to do a lot of funky stuff around. But mostly we brew in Belgium and we brew in Scotland and some in Denmark. Like we're looking at places in Norway. We're looking at some places in the States. And
do you want to remain gypsy brewers? Or?
Yeah, I see no reason of not doing a gypsy. I think it's a way of making it easy to do experimental approach to brewing beers. Of course, we could borrow the money and build a brewery, but then we had to repay the money. And in Denmark, if we should sell a lot of beer in Denmark, then we should focus on the beer styles that Danes like to drink, and that's obviously not the beer that we want to brew. So being a gypsy really makes it possible to brew a lot of wide variety beers and really try to get around a lot and try lots of different styles. And that's I couldn't see myself as doing it other ways. Like.
Lefty, you look like you might have a question for...
actually, how many physical brewers are there in Denmark that you can visit and brew at?
Well, there are some few, but it also depends. There are not that many who actually
open their doors to you.
Well, they perhaps open their doors, but the results are really, their equipment are not that good, and the results vary a lot. So there are a handful of breweries.
Who would you want to collaborate with?
Well, it's kind of hard to say it. I like doing collaborations also because I do it with my friends. It's hard to do a collaboration just with a brewery because they are a great brewery. You need to get the chemistry going between the brewers and need to have a good times with them. And everyone who are my friend, I want to brew with.
If you could brew in any brewery in the United States or North America, which one would you choose?
In anyone? Well, I will not answer in anyone like this. I got a gigantic list of things that I want to, places I want to brew at. We talked a lot with Against the Grain, for example, in the States, and at the festival, and want to come down there and see them and hang out with those guys. But we want to do a lot of different stuff. We want to do a lot of different places over here. There's a lot of cool guys. I talked to a lot of cool guys at the festival, and I was like, shit, I need to get over here and brew a lot of different beers here fast.
Well, hopefully we'll see you back over here soon at a brewery.
Yeah, we will be back, definitely.
Well, thanks for talking to us, and good luck. Thanks, Tor, and thanks, Lefty.
Yeah, definitely, thank you.